Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time Effort Podcast for round 23, 2021. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios and Rod Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who, well, he's got a bunch of beer bottles lying around, he's got a lot of white powder, he's wearing a costume. Have you started your Mad Monday, Adam Rosenbarks?
No. No, just a regular Sunday in lockdown, mate. Just another normal day here, mate. You know, what I've done is I've decided, because we're in lockdown for another 2 weeks here, and I figure if the days just all blend into one, it just feels like one really long day until we're out of lockdown.
Yeah, sure. Is that a dildo hanging off you?
Mate, it's all part of the fun. It's all part of the fun. And I'm dressed as Super Mario because if anyone fucks up around here, I can blame it on Super Mario and it's not me. It's another one of the things, just one of the coping mechanisms I'm using during this lockdown that we're all suffering through.
Do you feel like for the little people around the world, around Australia in the lockdown states where, like, drug dealers, like, you know, can't go more than 5Ks? Because didn't it go off, like, last year when, wasn't it great for business?
I think it might have been. You know what? I think the hard thing, though, is actually sourcing it because of the international movement has really slowed down. So a lot of the stuff that some of my friends...
Some of the backyard stuff you've been...
Yeah. A lot of those backyard stuff has been shut down. It's hard to get imports from China. A lot of... Now that the Taliban have taken off, though, a lot more stuff's going to be coming via Afghanistan. So that'll be good. They'll ramp up production pretty heavily, I would have thought. And hopefully, you know, we see South America opening up a bit. This is a little bit of a different show now, but I've just been talking to some people.
The
on
Drug
the
Time Over Podcast.
Yeah.
But I just made me actually realize, I was like, oh, so you're a drug dealer. That's what you do. You sell drugs. And a 5 kilometer, ban might frighten from breaking the law.
That's going to shut you down. You're like, our Venn diagrams don't cross over. I can't do this. So. But hey, Michael, we're into the finals. Finally, we've got there. There was supposed to be one super game at the end of the round, Essendon and Collingwood, but it didn't matter because Freo fucking shat themselves.
They did.
And the final eight has been set, but we are announcing our grand final super show.
The annual tradition. So we've done it every night, every grand final since 2016. So what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about to do our 6, with the Two Guys, One Cup podcast, Charlie Clawson, Will Anderson. We're going to be doing it again, unfortunately, via Zoom. Adam, I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, well, I mean, because most of the, 75% of the participants are not in Victoria, and I think it's going to be unlikely that even by that stage that Victoria will be opening up enough, if it is opened up, to have a crowd in a venue.
Yeah, so we're going to do a Zoom show. It was great last year. It was great.
It was fun.
So we're going to be doing it on Sunday, the 26th of September. So I think the AFL has pretty much guaranteed the date of the grand final. They just haven't guaranteed the location of the grand final.
Is that right? Hang on, because usually it's supposed to be the last Saturday in September, but won't it have moved forward a week because they're starting finals a week earlier? So
no, but
I think it could.
I should make a point. If you do buy a ticket, like, it could be a floating date. It would be definitely after the grand final. But
yeah,
I've
got a feeling it might be on September 19th because they've dropped the pre-finals bye now.
Think the idea is that they want to have a bye before the grand final.
So many permutations.
So a warning to people. I'll put the link up at our Twitter and Facebook at Junk Time AFL Pod. But if you type in, you know, Junk Time, Two Guys, One Cup, use the numbers, not the words. Grand final, Zoom show. clusterfuck. Put that in there as well.
But also too, if the dates do change and you're in Victoria or New South Wales, where the fuck else are you going to be?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And we'll inform people. We, you know, obviously can contact you and stuff like that. But yeah, so I think the idea for the AFL right now is like not have the bye week before the finals because, you know what they were thinking.
Mm. We were
getting
about
in. We were getting in on exactly. the action.
Yeah,
and they said we're getting like too big for our bye week show. Yeah. And so they said we're going to move the finals forward because they couldn't, you know, Channel 7 was furious. They were like, fuck man, like we can't get Rosie and Chambo in on our finals action for our bye week show. So yeah, I think the idea is they will do a bye before the between the prelim and the grand final, which I think might also be that grand final teams can maybe go to Perth and quarantine. And have that extra time.
So.
Yeah.
And also, the one positive that comes out of that is if you are concussed in a prelim, it means you still might be able to get up for the grand final because it would take into account the 12-day concussion protocol.
Actually, not a bad point. And also, you think about someone, you know, might, you know, ping a little bit of a calf or something, and you get that extra week to kind of, you know, get yourself right.
Yeah, wasn't it famously Simon Prestigiacomo who just said, I don't think I can get through the granny, so I'm just not going to play. And then he didn't, and then they lost.
No, they
so good on him.
They won, didn't they? Wasn't that 2010?
Oh, was that 2010? I thought it might have been the earlier ones.
No, I think that was 2010. I think he kind of put the hand up. He put the hand up and said, I can't do it. And then,
but do you reckon for the replays, like I feel fine, and they're like, yeah, sorry, mate, we're just dropping Leon Davis for that.
Well, I think it actually might have been for the replay, but again, we're going into, you know, football issues, which I don't know much about. Now,
no,
fucking hell, mate,
what a weekend
of football!
Unbelievable, it's fantastic.
Was amazing.
It started off Friday night. It was awesome and just good. So how excited would the AFL have been? Imagine there were crowds available for this. Like Channel 7 would be fucking over the moon.
Yeah.
But to have so many games that had so much impact on the final eight was just amazing. And it kicked off with the Doggies and Port Adelaide on Friday night. And what a cracker of a game that was.
Dude, so I think Doggies were about 3 goals up with maybe about 12 minutes to go.
Yep.
And then Port came back.
Home and host.
Dude, it was amazing. So Port secured their second spot, their home final, which will be at home. And then we had the fucking countdown of the Brisbane Lions trying to get like 1 point for like 3 minutes. Everyone's like,
How amazing was that?
That was
how
incredible.
Amazing was that? So apparently Chris Fagan went into the game and said they needed to win by about 5 goals. And I think at around just before three-quarter time, they weren't looking like they were going to do it. The Eagles were kind of hanging on and even Fagan said, hey, we're resigned to being fifth, so let's just, you know, worry about it if we have to. And then the last 2 minutes of that game was really exciting.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was actually awesome seeing a full house at the Gabba.
Yes, true.
Do you think the crowd majority knew how many points they had?
Yeah, it really seemed, because when Lincoln McCarthy kicked that point, the crowd went ballistic. So I reckon they were aware. So maybe there was a live ladder on the big screen.
Actually, that's a really good point. They actually could have put that up there. And then Charlie Cameron sealed the deal, which put it beyond doubt. But so now Melbourne and Brisbane are going to be facing each other in a qualifying final. I actually would going to go out on a fact without notice. I'm going to suggest that Melbourne and Brisbane have never faced each other in a qualifying final.
I reckon you would be almost 100% right, unless around 2001 when Melbourne were pretty solid and Brisbane were on their way up to...
I reckon the idea is that Melbourne would do odds and do odds years in finals. So 2000,
okay.
They made it 2002, 2004, 2006, like they'd go kind of...
So perhaps in 2002, again, we're heading into football territory. This has become a really dangerous show for us.
Well, actually, let me try and do that. Can I do that? Try and do that off the top of my head on the pod right now.
So what are you trying to work out whether or not Brisbane... So that means Brisbane would have had to finish in the top four, which I reckon could only have happened in 2002 if you're saying that there are odds and evens.
Okay, 2002. Okay, let me think of the prelims. Okay, Collingwood... Beat.
So, Junk Timers, you are hearing a sad man as
Adelaide in the 2002 prelim.
Yep.
Brisbane, they didn't beat Richmond that year. They beat someone else. They beat...
Wasn't Port Adelaide?
I reckon it could have been Port in the prelim.
Yeah.
because I think Collingwood beat Port in the 2003 prelim. Okay. Yeah, because they beat Brisbane in the 2003 qualifying.
Okay.
And so I think it was Brisbane beat Port. Okay, now I'm going backwards. Okay. Now, who made the finals? No, okay. Oh, I've got the prelims at least, okay? I could work it out. Close. If you had half an hour, I could work it out in my head.
Yeah, now that's good to know, mate. And that's why people love hanging out with you at the pub. They just go, let's find out who was in the top four in 2001. Yeah. What's Chambo up to?
Because Brisbane beat Swans in 2003 prelim.
Is that because you were there? Is that how you know these?
No. I just like doing this kind of stuff in my head. So in the other 2003 prelim, so that would have been a 2003 prelim would have been Pies again.
Mm.
So I think that's Pies beat Port in that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because remember Port were at the top for quite a few years before and Brisbane famously choked.
Well, Brisbane never finished on top.
No.
In that period. Anyway.
Pathetic.
I really want to
Which I think takes the shine off their three-peat, doesn't it? The fact that they never won the coveted McClellan trophy.
A little bit. I mean, the cupboard is bare at the Lions. Yeah.
When you look back at it, you just go, they're not as good as everyone sort of says they are.
I mean, yeah, it's got an asterisk next to it.
Absolutely. They got lucky in September. That's all you can say about the Brisbane three-peat, is they just were never good during the season when it counted.
But fuck, man, the holy grail of games last night, fucking Melbourne and Geelong, that was unbelievable.
Now, as a Hawthorn supporter, did that just fucking make you really excited? The fact that they were, what, 7 goals down and it was... They were cooked.
Hey, it fucking made me think, don't believe in never. Like, if you come back from that, at Geelong, which, as we all know, it's a very skinny ground.
It is a skinny ground.
If you can come back from that, you can do anything in September. And
Do you reckon it took to three-quarter time or half-time when someone went, hey, guys, have you noticed the wing? Like, maybe Ed Langdon came in and goes, guys, I swear to God, I'm running out and I'm fucking hitting the fence way before I should be. And they're going, hang on, what do you mean? He's like, it just seems... Would you say, like, narrower? And they're like, hang on, mate. And then they got on Google Maps. They're like, we've been kicking it out on the full because we're going wide. There is no fat side of the ground. What are you boys doing?
I was talking to my brother for about 40 minutes, I reckon, last night. He's in London. He was taking his daughter for a stroll. And I was kind of had half an eye on it kind of thing. Like,
yep.
Kind of like get distracted by talking to him and then being like, oh, gee, the day's just got another one. Oh, wait, they've got another one. And for the final 2 minutes, I was literally commentating it for him. I was like, Clayton Oliver gives down the hands. Danger smashes into another bloke. I was like...
Did you say foot race? Did you say shake and bake?
Put a little boy, a boy, yeah. Like,
great.
And literally commentated the last 2 minutes. And then he's there going, I'm like, that deliberate. Okay, we can talk about that. Mm. But then out of full, and he's like going... What the fuck is going on? I'm like, fucking, back score's got it. He's like 15 metres out. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was incredible. So that sort of sealed the deal. So Port Adelaide and Geelong, the two, I mean, you know, we always say this, the qualifying finals are going to be absolute crackers. You'd almost think that maybe the weakest side in that top four would have been the Brisbane Lions, but their form over the last month has been great. So they're coming red hot.
And they're watch too.
Yeah.
But did you see the footage overnight? Shocking footage of the Melbourne fans looting and rioting in Toorak. Disgraceful.
As
that finished, they went out in the streets. They were burning Audis and Mercedes Benzes. It was not on. I actually saw footage. There was a guy who he was running. He looted a Hugo Boss shop, and he ran out with like about 7 shirts and looking at his boat shoes like they weren't going to match.
It was
going to be hideous when he went to the yacht. And then I saw someone did a crash and grab at a cigar and cognac shop, and I was like, guys,
fucking hell,
I mean, the principal of Scotch College had to put out a statement, and he said he said, we love you, we respect you, but go home. And it's that kind of stuff that Melbourne supporters do all the time. That infuriates me.
Oh, that's what you don't want to see. I saw a man drinking Grange out of an R.M. William boot. I mean, just... these people are fucking psychopaths.
They're animals. I mean, imagine if they won the flag.
If they win, I feel for the people who have to curate the planter boxes along Malvern Road. Like, yeah, they are just going to tear them apart.
I tell you what, I mean, I actually saw a report that someone threw a dry-aged steak at a cop. Now, you can't do that.
No, you can't. How many years was it aged for? 72 months? You, good luck. Good luck post-grand final if Melbourne win. Buying stocks on the Australian Stock Exchange on that Monday. There is not going to be a fucking broker around that you can get to sell
your
stuff.
Absolutely disgraceful. You know, I mean, I think I you know who I feel for when Melbourne, if Melbourne win the flag, is all of the quality butchers that sell ham on, because that is. I mean, good luck if you're a quince paste dealership.
Fuck, mate, if you're in the quince industry, you are praying for a fucking Melbourne. Maggie Beer is just going to be fucking minted. So then we've got the bottom half of the eight. So the Western Bulldogs, who unbelievably dropped out of the eight after losing three in a row. Yeah. And now they take on Essendon, who they lost to only a couple of weeks ago. So this is going to be, you know, some pretty... They lost by 13 points only three rounds ago. And so there's no, you know, usually you go fifth, it would pretty much take care of eighth, but there's no bloody guarantee of that one this time, Michael, I tell you.
I mean, I think it was only a few weeks ago that we were both adamant that the Dogs are going to win the whole thing. So they have to go the long way again, like they did in 2016, which, you know.
Yeah.
And they're one of the few to do that, although both, well, a bit different. Both were top four last year and had to go the long way, but were also top four, if that makes sense.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But so you can't rule them out, but they're not fucking... The form guide doesn't look great. And
no,
I actually
and
wouldn't...
Just...
I wouldn't underrate the Swans too. I mean, Big Budwar is only about 8 goals from the 1,000. So I actually just want them to win, like, being
two games, so
he
can do that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Try and
that'd
do
be great.
It. Yeah.
And also, how good for the AFL that you got a Battle of the Bridge as a second elimination final.
Yeah,
like, it's
but
pretty
I think
exciting.
It's
like all
be in
the
Tasmania,
games have gone pretty well. Yeah. Well, there is that. There is that.
Can I talk about the fucking football coverage up here in Sydney? Fucking hell, mate. Like, I was flicking around and like the...
Now, obviously, you've got access to the ARC and everything at Rod Carter Studios.
Yeah,
but
sure,
you're talking
but
about
I,
what the
yeah,
regular punter.
I want to watch, you know, like a regular punter, like every now and then, like just kind of... Because I'm salt of the earth and just want to see
you
what
are,
the...
That's
you
what
know,
people say.
What the people on Struggle Street are doing.
Yeah. When people run into you... at a impromptu sing-along of Hamilton in the park, they say to you, how do we watch the footy up here, Michael?
But fuck, man, I was like, just think about the coverage. Like, they play the Swans and the Giants games, but at weird times. Like, last night they were playing, I actually don't know, I think it might have been Melbourne Geelong, actually, but I think they played at, like, 9:30 to, like, you know, 12:30.
So that's not on live. So the Friday night game between Port Adelaide and the Western Bulldogs, that's not broadcast live on Channel 7.
I think that was on live. I'm pretty certain I watched that live.
Okay.
So I think they... I'm a bit over the shot, but I think they do Friday night.
But are you
night.
Watching on Channel 7 or are you watching through Foxtel, which has every game?
Well, I jump between, like, if I want to put it... But I was watching... I flicked around last night to see if there was footy on. And... I think on it's on 7 Mate, which is a remarkable channel. Do you watch much 7 Mate?
No. But every time, like when I venture across, it's all about like big catches and
yeah, dude.
Big trucks and stuff.
And it's like, we're two Aussie blokes. We're just barbecuing on a tinny. It's amazing. Like, all the shows like paid for. They're all sponsored kind of thing. But it's like, you know, just me and Terry. We're going to caravan around the country and meet some locals. It's amazing. But I was like, surely you just like, you're showing the game. Like, doesn't hurt you to put the game on. Because I think I flicked to 7-2 and it was like Dr. Harry's adventures. And it's like, I feel like we're not living in 1992 anymore and you could put on football if you want to grow the game. And also on Channel 7, if they want to grow the game, like surely it's you're just flicking a switch. It's not costing you anything.
So are you telling me, the great people of Sydney, the football lovers of Sydney, cannot sit down on free-to-air and currently watch the Crows versus the Kangaroos. Are you telling me that that's not happening right now? Because there would be pretty much everyone's in lockdown. There's 6 million people who have got nothing to do. And you've got the Crows playing the Kangaroos. The Crows could move up to 15th.
Actually,
put the fucking live ladder on that.
Let me check right now. Okay. But my gathering is that they play the Swans and Giants games live and then other games kind of randomly.
Okay.
Oh, look, there's the Prime Minister on TV on ABC News, 24. Oh, what's he got to say? Something great? It's never been a better time to get COVID.
Hey, don't editorialise during our show.
Oh, I'm sorry about your mate. Here we go. So we've got AFL on now on 7, mate. And okay. So that
would be the Collingwood-Essendon game?
I think it would be, yeah.
Yeah, which makes sense because they would have quite a big following around the country.
Before that though, like I think it's like generally like they do that kind of 3:20 game that leads into the news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Now let's talk about the sadness that has struck us upon both our clubs. That both of us have lost a coach on the weekend. One hasn't been announced yet, but it's only hours away. Clarko, you saw him coach your last game. He got you, so you guys rounded out your season with 3 wins and a draw. Second draw for the season.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever lived through 2 draws in 1 year for the Hawks.
These are unprecedented times, Michael.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't read about it, would you?
No. mean, 2 draws in 1 season.
I mean, but I thought 2020 was weird, but now 2021 is still my heading. But it was actually quite nice in the end. And, I mean, it was obviously a game that didn't mean a great deal. I mean, the narrative, and I'm sure he's fine with it, and, you know, it's nothing you kind of, you know, worry about, but the narrative of Sean Burgoyne and his 407th game, if he was the dude who just got the fingers across the line to save the game, would have been fucking amazing. But it was all very
and
sweet.
I think that's how he'll be remembered, is the man who couldn't win the game against Richmond in his final match. I mean, put some effort in. I can see maybe he should have... Probably shouldn't have got to 400, I would have thought, you know.
But it was nice seeing them get carried off and everyone seemed pretty happy and Clarko's down. Sure.
Now, there's something
I
need to... I
got $1 million for free.
There's something we need to discuss here. Now, you alerted me to the fact of something... Now, you do some really sad things in your life. We discuss them quite often. Your love of musicals, your love of wrestling, all that kind of stuff. And your penchant for writing letters, not emails, letters to heads of organisations. And you sent a letter, a young Michael sent a letter to Wayne Jackson at AFL House.
Yeah, and to recap, I think we brought this up about nearly 2 years ago now. I found a letter when I was moving into a new mansion. And it seemed to be a letter that I'd written to Wayne Jackson complaining about the draw of Hawthorn in 1997, I think.
Now, as you say that, as you state that out loud, do you realise how fucking sad that is?
Well,
it's a letter I wrote to Wayne Jackson about the draw.
I think the remarkable thing is that he wrote back to me within about 2 hours. He was like, this guy's a fucking idiot.
You'll put him in his place. On a list. Yeah. You know what? That's probably cost junk time getting a look in at the AFL because they're like, oh yeah, Adam Rosemarks, he's a funny guy. Michael Chamberlain, bing! Oh no, he's the guy that sent the letter to Jacko.
I think I'm on a watch list at the AFL.
Yeah.
Like if I kind of walk past Marvel, they're like, he's here, he's here, he's here. The Black Ops are like, he's here, he's here.
There's a sniper who's fucking good. You're in the crosshairs the moment you head down there. So, with your love of writing a letter, what did you do this week, you sad motherfucker?
I hand wrote a letter to Alistair Clarkson, thanking him for his services to my football club and my family.
How old are you?
23. And I wrote handwrote it. So, you know, I think that means more. I handwrote a letter to Alistair, thanking him for the service to my football club and for the memories that it has built with my, the proud moments that we've experienced with my family at the football.
So you handwrote it, right? So that means that you, unlike a typed letter where, you know, you put it on a Word document, you can go back and edit it. You go into this and you have to, your poor left-handed penmanship, you...
It was actually
go to write a letter.
It's actually, sometimes you kind of go like, oh, geez, like, you don't write very often.
No, that's what I'm getting at.
Clear, too. Like, you have to kind of make
yes.
the, yeah.
And you have to know where this is headed. So did you have this planned in your head as to what you were going to say, or did it just come to you magically?
It flowed from the pen, Adam. You know, I'm a wordsmith. I mean, it was like not... I wasn't even moving my hand. It just flowed like velvet out of the big pen, mate.
Yeah, out of your four-colour pen.
But I felt it was appropriate to put in writing that he has done a great job for my football club. And...
A grown man writing a letter to another grown man that you then had to leave in COVID-infected times and go down to the post office to purchase a stamp to send to... Where did you send it to, by the way?
I sent it to... There's a PO box for Waverley.
And did you express post it? Because Clarko's out of there now.
It was like a prepaid, I suppose. So almost it had the stamp on it already, and it cost me about $1.35, I think, which is money.
But will you ever know, Michael? Did you have a return address on it?
I put a return address on the back of the envelope, and I put my on the letter. I put my, as is the tradition, I put my address, my email and phone number. And that is my very thirsty attempt to try and get Clarko to reply to me.
Do you reckon he will?
I'm
going to say he won't. I would say that will...
I reckon he's... Well, come, you know, whatever, 5 o'clock yesterday, he would have been locked out of his Hawthorne computer, so he lost his email. Yeah. But I think... I believe in the man, and I believe he'll send me a text, and he'll say, save the number, so we can communicate. For the rest of the year. But I did
so
find
you are hoping that you and Clarko will become friends because of this.
I did find it funny. You know, you talked about, you know, travelling and stuff with his wife. Yep. And we're all like, you know there's a pandemic going on, Clarko. Like, what are you actually going to do next year?
Yeah, because he came out this week and was like, well, you know, I'd love to, you know, travel the world with my beautiful wife, because I haven't been able to do that because for 17 years I've been coaching. And even before that, he's been coaching for so long. And so now was the opportune time. And you kind of went, I reckon this might be another one of Clarko's bullshit speeches that he may have had a few of over the last few months. But also this was possibly the easiest one to call out.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I remember Kevin Sheedy saying he, you know, one desire was to take his wife on a European summer trip. And he promised that, you know, when they kind of got married. But then it was like 35 years later before he could actually do it because he was a player and a coach for so long.
Yeah, but
like,
she got to go on the international rules trips. There was all sorts of stuff that she got. She got to go to Bali every year with the players. She would have loved it, you know. But there was actually an interesting article from The Age during the week that kind of listed some of the weird things that Clarko had done across his journey as Hawthorn coach. And some of them that I remembered reading him at the time and you just go, fuck, that's odd. Like the time he bought Grant Birchall a puppy. An 8-week-old Labrador. He just went around. He rang Birch. Birch, mate, I'm popping around. And he comes around and Birch is like, oh, I think I'm in trouble here. And he rocks up with a puppy and just goes, I've brought this for you.
And then Birch, after about 2 days, said, the dog's been driving me nuts. He wasn't a dog guy. But surely kind of Birch showed a bit of love to the little puppy. Like an eight-week-old Labrador. Fucking hell, can you get anything more adorable?
I know, it is adorable. And that's a magnet when you're down the park. But also, if you're not into dogs, like that's a huge assumption to just rock up.
Yeah, sure,
and
sure.
Just go, hey, mate, just getting your dog. I'll see you later.
I remember last year during lockdown and... I think I just saw a picture of a rabbit and I was like, I want to get a rabbit. I'm kind of having weird kind of like, I mean, I don't kind of have the lifestyle to kind of look after a dog, but I'm like,
yeah.
Did you have a dog growing up?
Yes, we did. I even had a rabbit, and I had a rabbit when I was in grade prep, and because I'm very creative, I called the rabbit John.
Okay, that's cool. My sister's family, they have Cyril, the cavoodle. Who's named after Pope Benedict.
Yeah. So it also goes on to say, so Clarko also had a little bit of a penchant for visiting people overseas. So, of course, the famous one was that he went and saw Buddy to see whether Buddy was leaving the Hawks to go to what they thought was GWS at the time. So he's gone over to Las Vegas when Buddy's over there with Gibbo, Josh Gibson. Can you imagine? That would have just convinced him that he's leaving that club.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you reckon that was the kind of final straw and Buddy just went,
I reckon.
I'm out? Yeah. Now, okay.
Like, he's intent enough. And then to have him come to your... You're in Las Vegas, mate. What happens over there, you are not telling a soul about, right?
Yeah, sure,
and then
sure.
Your coach just rocks up. And he's like, you got to tell me. And you're like, oh, mate, this is like fucking... You're getting into stalker territory here.
And it's also like not just like an hour drive. Like, you literally have to get on, you know, probably yes. two planes to get there.
Yeah.
It's like, what, probably 17 hours or so. And then you got to book book a room at Caesar's Palace. You got to head out to the pool, yeah. Book a lounge. You know, they don't come free.
No, they don't. They don't.
Now, okay, pound for pound, okay. Buddy and Gibbo in Vegas versus Swanee and Dusty in Vegas.
That is a fucking Vegas question
without notice. Because I reckon two of them are a bit more obvious about some of their behaviour, but I reckon there's another two, no names, no pack drills, there's another two that I reckon fucking play a big game and just don't advertise it.
Wow, excellent. Fuck, excellent.
Because remember Swanee had a story about being banned from a Vegas hotel at our live show earlier this year?
Yes. And we won't go into details, but he said, yeah, he was banned from one. So obviously, you know,
he didn't tell us the details, by the way. Like, we...
No. He goes hard, but says he goes hard. But yeah, the other two, you imagine, would be a lot of fun to hang out with. That is a fucking good question, Michael.
I reckon I
am going with... You know what? I'm going with... Buddy and Josh, because I think Buddy's got the swagger, but he's a little bit more understated, you know?
So is
Dusty. Fuck,
it's a fucking real question without notice. We can put it out to the Junk Timers out there. Buddy and Gibbo versus Swanee and Dusty. Because I feel like, okay, the party game is probably stronger for Dusty and Swanee. I feel like, in all respect, I feel like the lady game is stronger for Buddy and Gibbo.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so it depends on where we are. Are we in a club or are we around a pool?
I think we're just hanging out in general Vegas. Like, we're going to, like, we're staying at...
You're spending the whole time.
We're staying at Caesar's Palace. We're going to the beach, at the pool. We're going to nightclubs at night. Like, we're spending a week there. Clarko shows up. He's the third wheel.
Great question, Junk Timers. We want your responses because I'm fascinated by this. I am torn. I am absolutely torn.
Yeah, because I feel like there's one side that might hang out with a bit of a seedier underbelly.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, man. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. So, Clarko, and I didn't know this particular story. Now, the Hawks, well, Clarko thought they were in the running to get Jake Carlisle from Essendon.
Yeah.
And so Clarko was in the States and he knew that Jake Carlisle was in Miami.
Yep.
And so Clarko flew down there and rang Jake Carlisle, and the following conversation happened. So Jake Carlisle picks up the phone and goes, g'day Clarko, I'm in Miami. And Clarko says, yeah, so am I. And then Carlisle's like, where are you? And he's like, I'm out the front of your hotel.
It's a little failure of traction. Yeah.
Could you imagine Jake Carlisle then just going, Clarko would have been like, can I come up and see you? He goes, can you give me a couple of minutes?
I've got to send a Snapchat.
I just need to clean my room. Give me 5 minutes. No, mate, it doesn't matter if you got clothes everywhere. Yeah, no, Clarko, I'm a bit of a stickler for a clean room, man. I just got to put some plates away.
I've got a kitchenette and I was making a cake and I spilled the flour.
Yeah. And when I make a cake, I love to just roll up dollar bills, right? That's how I measure stuff.
But then the other one about the guy who worked with Bill Belichick.
Yes.
And so Clarko wants to talk to him to pick his brains about Bill Belichick. And We actually had the last name Lombardi, so football royalty.
Yeah, so he's meeting Michael Lombardi, who had worked in the NFL as a scout and as head of player personnel and general manager of NFL teams. So, and he'd also written a book about what it takes to become a dynasty in the States.
And so Clarko booked a flight with him, but he particularly booked the seat next to him so he could have like 4 or 5 hours talking to him and picking his brains about, you know, what it takes to build a dynasty. But I'm trying to work out, how did he actually do that? Like,
I don't know. And it says here Lombardi would later recount on a podcast, I don't know how he did it. So he's managed to snaffle that. And imagine that. You're just like on a flight. You're like, oh, yeah. You know, I'm happy. You know, when you sit next to someone, you're like, how you going, mate? You know, where you going? That's it. Opening 5 minutes. Then you go to your book. You go to your movie. You don't have some guy asking you everything about your whole, you know, work life.
I mean, do you think he maybe went to the counter and kind of slipped a bit of cash in the hand of someone at the checkout and said, you know, where's his seat? Can I get in next week? That's the only way I can think about he did it, like finding out that information from
Well, you'd have to know where he's sitting to know where to get to seat next to him, which is almost, and also because by that stage, if you know, mostly like planes are booked up by then, like the flight's already kind of booked, isn't it? So unless it was in like a business class and he's gone, I'll pay this much extra to get it. And then the airline went, no worries, we can shuffle shit around.
So all these, you know, it's a tribute to Clarko. So he stalked one of his best players. He stalked another player and then he stalked a coach advisor. So it's a farewell to one of Australia's true sociopath AFL coaches.
And all I can say is welcome to Carlton. Thank you, Clarko.
So, Teague, mate. So, we're filming...
Well, it all kicked off over the weekend, didn't it? During the week when... So, Ross Lyon on Footy Classified on Wednesday night, he basically said, I would talk to Carlton. I'm not going to talk to Collingwood. He's not happy with the situation down at Collingwood. That must have killed Eddie, wouldn't it? He's sitting right there going, mate, if I was there, because of the stability that I brought to Collingwood, we would be able to get Ross Lyon. And now, because of these fuckheads, we can't get him.
And, of course, if there's one thing you can say about Collingwood during Eddie's tenure, it was stability. I mean, that's what I saw during that whole time. Like, never a peep out of anyone. There was always...
It was only about what happened on the ground. That's all that people ever talked about, you know?
The thing I liked about him, it was never about him, okay? It was never about him.
No. I didn't even know he was president for so long.
Yeah, it was just a guy called Ed. I didn't even know what he looked like.
No, never heard of him. So David Teague's manager, Liam Pickering, has come out and labelled Ross Lyon's TV pitch for the Carlton job as grubby and disrespectful.
Yeah.
Now how dare you call a man who left St Kilda and knifed Mark Harvey in the back and usurped his own management to get the job? How dare you call him grubby and disrespectful? What kind of... I mean, come on, Pickers.
Now, I was actually shocked by the fact that Pickers was talking about this, by the fact he's been unaware that he's been managing David Teague for the last two decades. He had no idea.
I mean, he got him the job, and then he just hands off. He hasn't even spoken to Teague. But now, fuck, he's angry. He's fucking angry at Ross Lyon for doing that.
What do you think about it? What do you think about it? Like, it was putting a bit of a hand up for it while the dude still has the job. So I feel it was a bit off. From Ross?
It's callous, it's heartless, and I think that's Ross Lyon. I think that's just the kind of person. And I reckon, you know what, it actually kind of, if you're Carlton, I reckon you see that and you go, I don't know if I like the look of that.
Yeah,
sure.
You could
have just sat back, waited. It was seriously like, it was on Wednesday, we're recording this on Sunday. He had to wait 5 days to keep his powder dry and just texted someone involved at Carlton and said, hey, I'm interested.
Yeah.
He didn't need to make an impassioned plea about, you know, Lee Matthews telling him that, you know, because he'd taken two clubs to grand finals, that, you know, not, you know, shit coaches basically can't do that. It's like, mate, just stop with the bullshit. You want to coach again. You've seen a fucking good list that's there and you want the gig. Just tell Carlton that.
Yeah, actually, now I think about it, like, it actually feels quite kind of calculated and rather large dick move. It's like you can do that privately. You don't need to do that publicly.
No.
And also at the Footy Classified time of 10:37 on a Wednesday night. But I think it's airing at 9:14 this week. Yeah. So
now I'm hearing that the job is Clarko. This is what I'm hearing from your mail. Channels. The job,
your mailman.
Yeah, my mail. Yeah. The job is Clarko's. If he wants it, and if he doesn't, and they reckon they probably, you know, he was going to get cleared of Hawthorn's final game and just be clear of all that. And then the real talk will start tomorrow, and it's his. And if he doesn't want it, then it's Ross Lyons.
Okay, gotcha.
So how are they going to go through a process of speaking to other coaches? It's those two, or that's it.
How do you feel about getting either?
Look, I'd be happy with Clarko. I mean, you know, he's proven, even with the adjustments in the modern game, that he's, you know, you look at the way Hawthorn ended the season. He can, you know, they were fucking competitive. They took it up to a lot of half-decent teams, and that hurts me to say. But Ross Lyon hasn't coached for a few years, and you just go, has he got what it takes? And I just don't want, like we did with Mick Malthouse and we did with Dennis Pagan, that you just go, oh, he's a really, you know, famous coach. Let's just get him in without going through a process.
Yeah, that's what I worry about. Like, you don't do that again. Just kind of be like, you're good. You can have it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although with Clarko, you kind of go, yeah, you are good, and we know you're good. So,
yeah.
And he's still, you know, you saw how passionate he was when he was fucking going ballistic with the phone a couple of weeks ago. The guy still wants to coach, and, you know, he would, and I would love him just, if only, just to shove it up Hawthorn that he gets a premiership. I'm not really worried about the premiership at Carlton, but if it makes Clarko happy to say, hey, get fucked, Jeff Kennett, then that's what I'm on board for, Mike.
Yeah, sure. I feel like
Clarko... redemption for Clarko.
I don't know anything. I haven't got a mailman.
You haven't got a mailman?
But I feel like he needs a year off just to kind of refresh and just not jump into it. Because, I mean, think about, you know, if you jump from Hawthorn now to Carlton, like, okay...
Yeah.
Okay, so Teague goes tomorrow. Let's say that, okay? I feel bad for Teague, and actually he came out very strongly in the press conference, and I agreed with a lot of what he said. He said, I want, you know, I could have got a bit of more support from the club, you know, publicly.
Well, it was supposed to be like a review to talk about what he needs to help make the club better, which is obviously just a defensive structure. If Carlton has a defensive structure, we're playing finals, mate. Fucking trust me, and we're going deep.
Yeah, sure. But I think if Clarko, like, okay, so he finishes, you know, wraps up stuff today, he'd have to go to Carlton, do exit interviews, get across the fucking list as of fucking Thursday, you know? Mm. And then you're into drafting, you're into training, you're into planning, what you're doing. Like, I feel like that's a big load for a dude who's just worked 17 years. Anyway, I'm getting a thing on Twitter now saying that Alistair Clarkson signed to coach Carlton.
Now, let us move on from all the footy talk. Now, last weekend, we spoke about on the show Jason Ackermanis's cryptocurrency, ZooCoin.
Yep.
Okay. And we talked about how it came from the brainchild of a man in Albury, a man who could be described as a colourful racing identity.
Oh, that's right, of course.
Created his own cryptocurrency, and Acker is all on board. And I thought, wouldn't it be fucking great if the Junk Time AFL podcast invested in some ZooCoin?
Did you buy one?
Well, here's the thing. Now, ZooCoin floated at $60 per coin, okay? And I was like, all right, this podcast is doing very well, so we can afford one ZooCoin. And then I went onto the website to purchase said ZooCoin, but you can't just buy one, Michael. You have to buy 10. Now, we can afford this. This is not a problem. Junk Times, don't get us wrong. We could buy a lot more than
that. We could buy that company out.
Yeah. I don't want to get rid of just $600 straight down the toilet, because that is where I believe the ZooCoin will be going. So you have to buy a minimum of 10 shares. And how's this, though? How good is this from ZooCoin? They have 1 million ZooCoin available. So when everyone buys into ZooCoin, they're going to be suddenly worth $6 billion, which is not a bad thing for a little company from Albury.
Okay, gotcha. So would you call that a pyramid plan?
There's a little bit. And so then I jumped into the terms and conditions in the purchase agreement. And how's this?
These would be rich.
it's like number three.
One must own drug-addled horse.
Number three hit me right between the eyes. You shall not purchase zoo coins for any illegal uses or purposes. Hello, do you know what cryptocurrency is fucking for? It's just like, yeah, I'm out, mate. We're cooked. Zoo coin, you and I and the Junk Time podcast are fucking finished.
No, we do not do anything illegal. But hit us up at Junk Bet. We're the for your finals betting, and we can take care of the odds for you.
We'll sort you out.
Football in real life?
Hit me.
From Larry. Went to the pub in Victoria Park, Perth, WA, called the Broken Hill, a.k.a. Broken Nose, a.k.a. Crack Mountain.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to Crack Mountain.
Saw Elliot Yo enjoying a beer and looked like a steak burger. My friend tells me he part owns the place with his father. I'm doing very well.
There you go.
It was busy and the staff were under pressure with a lot of pointing going on between staff behind the bar. They seemed to be blaming each other for the slow service issues. My friend mentioned the little fat man doing most of the gesticulating was indeed Craig Yo, Elliot's father. So the apple obviously hasn't fallen far from the tree. Oh, that's right, because he was doing the pointing recently.
He was.
From Lizzie, couple of footballers in real life for you this morning.
But just back on Craig Yo, if he's busy running a pub, how is he listening to all of the shit that's been said about his son to be able to point it out to his son?
Well, I actually sometimes see him at the Arc. It must be like a dispensation from the AFL or something come over from WA. But I often see him next to me.
When he's working the bar at Crack Mountain, punters behind the bar, give us a pot of fucking little creatures, thanks, mate. He's like, yeah, no worries. He goes, oh, by the way, your son, fucking terrible left foot kick into the forward pocket the other day. He's like, noted, done. I'll tell him. I'm seeing him tonight. He's getting a steak burger.
From Lizzie, this morning on my government mandated 2 hours of exercise, I saw Toby Green walking a Dalmatian around the town, a tan, and then Ben King eating an apple while crossing the road near the MCG. Exciting times, I know. Fuck, man, that's awesome.
Hey, isn't that interesting that Toby Green, is that his Dalmatian? Did he hire a Dalmatian? Because he's not living down here. You don't bring your dogs down, do you?
Well, that's a good point. Someone told me, who was it? Who was my mailman? Or mailwoman? It was someone a bit ago, I can't remember, but the Swans and Giants had to leave to get to Victoria Victoria was good. And the wives and girlfriends were coming down on a bus to Victoria to be with them. And then halfway through the trip, they found out that the Giants and the Swans had to go back to New South Wales. And so maybe the dog was on the bus. Maybe the dog was on the bus.
Surely you're not taking a dog on. That's fucking like Wild West shit.
Where do you leave the dog? Oh, I put in a. Well, you put the needle in, don't you?
I mean, if you want to keep the season going, at what cost? I mean, really.
A Dalmatian too. You don't see many Dalmatians these days, do you?
No,
can I bring up one thing before we go about Are you hearing the word clubland a lot more nowadays?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like we talked a bit ago about pulling the levers, but I'm hearing clubland a lot more nowadays. And I looked up on Webjet because I was like, I want to go to clubland. And I couldn't find any flights from Sydney to get to clubland.
Is it in a red zone? Is it a green zone, clubland?
I don't know. I'm not totally sure. But if anyone has any information out there. And also, before we go, can I bring up what an amazing 2 days of wrestling we've had, Adam.
Thanks for having us, Junk Timers. It's going to be a great final series, and I'll catch you next week. Go, Clarko.
We had SummerSlam today. That was absolutely pretty special. And then yesterday, we had CM Punk come back. He was in AEW, okay? So AEW is like almost like a... It's a big company, but it's like not very old, like 2 years. And so CM Punk hadn't wrestled for about 7 years. He went into MMA, but he was very unhappy about the wrestling industry. And he came out. He got the biggest pop I've ever heard in my entire life, right? Like, the crowd went absolutely fucking mental. And then today, we had SummerSlam, okay? Becky Lynch came back. The man, she came back. And I didn't like the booking that she came out and she beat Bianca Belair in like 5 seconds. And it was like, they didn't have to give her the title straight away. Like, she could have just kind of, you know, maybe gotten to a feud with Bianca Belair. Because Carmella got had to face Bianca Belair, and she was never going to win the title, but like there's talk about Sasha Banks maybe having some COVID issues and that she might have been anti-vaxxer as well, so we, you know, don't want to talk about that. But then John Cena and Roman Reigns were up against each other because John Cena was going for his record 17th title. Ric Flair and him have 16 titles in WCW, WWE. And so Roman Reigns, like, he said he'd leave the company if he lost to John Cena, who's obviously a big star. And I was thinking, like, gee, maybe they'll put it on him for a month, put the belt on him for a month. And then at the end, like, after we had CM Punk come back, Becky Lynch come back, at the end, Roman Reigns beats John Cena, and then fucking Brock Lesnar walks out at the very end. Now, and so obviously he'll go straight into a feud with Roman Reigns. I don't think they've fought before. Oh, no, they have. They have. They fought at WrestleMania a few years ago. And actually, it was a bit of a dud match because they were trying to get Roman over, okay? And it's worked much better for him now when he turned heel. And so he's been champion for about a year now. And so it's quite a fascinating time, like where they're going to take Becky. I don't think they needed to put the belt on her. Like, it was really insane. It was like 50,000 people at the stadium where the Las Vegas Raiders play. So, like, you know, it's a big crowd, big crowd. But some of the pops when they came out was fucking amazing. Anyway, yeah, I just got to look around the dirt sheets and see what, and read the shoot interviews just to kind of see what, you know, the real story is. But yeah, I mean, I love Becky and I loved her coming back. I actually had forgotten Becky was out because last year, it was WrestleMania, then about a month later, she announced she was pregnant. And so obviously they say, you know, probably getting hit with a steel chair is not great for pregnant women. I remember my sister, when she had her first child, the doctor said to her, she was like, you know, did check up and stuff like that. And she was like, I just want to be very clear, make sure you never get hit in the head with a title belt, because that's the worst thing that can happen to a pregnant woman. So yeah, I mean, I wish them much happiness. Edge and Seth Rollins was very entertaining as well. But I mean, Cena's obviously not going to be there for, you know, months and months. So you probably maybe put the title on him for like a day, you know, give him that 17th because he's carried the company for so long. But you can't kind of have him in the, you can't have him, he's not going to be there for, you know, half a year. He's going to be there for like 2 months and then he's going to, sorry, you got to.
Hey, are you single?
Go Hawks!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.